The University of Detroit Mercy presents a special edition of Ask the Professor, a tribute to the memory of longtime Ask the Professor moderator Edwin DeWint. I'm Michael Jason, the technical director of Ask the Professor since fall of 1994, and we begin today with brief reintroductions of the panel members for these special programs as a tribute to the memory of Professor Edwin DeWint.
I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, from the Department of Theater, Performing Arts, take your choice, right? It's Professor Arthur Beer.
Hi, how are you doing?
How are you doing, Art?
Just fine.
As I continue around the table to introduce Professor of English, Professor Claire Crabtree.
And Women's and Gender
Studies. Women's and Gender Studies, that is absolutely correct. How are you doing, Claire?
Just fine, thank you.
Excellent.
Happy to be here.
Continuing around the table, Professor of History, Professor Sarah Stever.
Hi, I can't remember what I used to say. I haven't been here in more than 15 years.
Oh, my.
And I was actually Sarah Gravel for a lot of that.
Oh,
so
if
anybody's out there in radio land...
She's Sarah Stever.
They were two different people.
Yeah.
Excellent. And we also continue around the table and come back to Professor Dan Maggio, the man who taught me Calc 3.
Thank you, Matt. It's a pleasure to be here.
As always.
And an honor.
So do you remember the Academy Award questions? We were asked all of every Academy Award-winning movie.
And everybody expected me to answer them. I don't remember them.
You got anything we couldn't, but Edwin was pretty...
Oh, yes.
So we could do it now and go for weeks.
There's been a few more years since that show, and we just need to remember the more recent winners, right?
Yeah.
Before Edwin was the moderator, was he a panelist?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, wow.
I don't know.
I don't think so. That's a good question.
I mean, he would have been a professor for 6 years by 1974. And actually, I'm wondering, Michael's going to give me the evil eye or the happy eye when I say, would he have taken over for the original host, 1974? We really don't know.
I think it was Fred Hayes that was the host before him.
Oh, and they knew him.
He went right from being, perhaps he was a panelist with Fred Hayes, but Fred Hayes was in the history department, so it was a natural that Edwin would take over the show.
Yep. But you know what I also heard is that it was originally... These guys are brilliant. It wasn't a comedy.
That's right.
It was very serious.
It was just dumb.
Yeah. Yep, the first time around.
I'm sure they were all men. Professors and no broad humor.
The University of Detroit Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio program on which you match wits with University of Detroit professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. Questions today about Melville, Charles Dickens, Tolstoy, and the Cambrian rocks. Today's panel, I'm the man with all of the questions and most of the answers, Bill Raby. On my right, history professor Frederick H. Hayes.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Professor Hayes. On my left, Russell McLaughlin of the University of Detroit Green Room Programs.
How do you do, I'm sure?
Yes. Thank you, Professor McLaughlin. And our middleman again, Professor John Mahoney of the University of Detroit English Faculty.
And with approval of that certainty, how do you do?
Well, you're right. People would, like, not so much call in with their problems, but in a pre-internet world, I couldn't remember who the actor was in that movie. I know the professors will know, and stuff like that. And they would, write things in, like, I got this, I know that this fact from Harper's Weekly is wrong, and they'll be able to tell me why, and just
and
interesting
Edwin
stuff.
Edwin never looked anything up, not that you could Google anyway, but he had pieces of paper.
Wow.
He had letters, and didn't he always have the answer, really?
And some of them were handwritten. Sometimes he had trouble reading.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that.
Yes.
Yeah.
We did some research in the archives in our university library over the summer. We found a couple question sets, one of which was submitted. We got a photostat of it, essentially, a photocopy, submitted by a 14-year-old in high school in this long hand. And it would have been questions that Edwin would have read at the beginning of his hosting the show. Absolutely fascinating questions, as if I'm writing this paper and I need these to fill in these gaps. It's like, I know the professors will have the answer.
And we used to have listeners like in Little Rock there were funky little places that
Alaska.
Carried.
Alaska,
the
show. Edwin was invited to Alaska. Did you know that? He was invited to Alaska. Yes. They flew him up.
He went?
Yes.
He went?
Because,
I didn't know.
Yes,
oh my
he went
gosh.
To Alaska. He was flown up to Alaska because he had this devoted crowd of
he
listeners.
He was a celebrity there.
Yeah. And he came back. Yeah, and he did. And then he came back with... you opened his freezer and there, and King Crab Legs jumped out at him.
He had about there was a moose.
Hundreds and hundreds of dollars for King Crab Legs that they had given him as a present.
Oh,
for,
my gosh, that's incredible.
So incredible.
I've never heard that.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, we'd be lucky these days to get invited to Clawson.
Didn't they mail? We used to mail copies of the show.
The tapes
off,
would be mailed.
Yes,
sure.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Oh, to the radio station.
Yes, to radio stations, independent radio stations that had to fill whatever that's called, PSA time. And there was one in California, and my kids listened to it out there. I know. Texas? I can't remember where they were.
You know,
odd places.
We're on a minimum number of stations since the law changed X number of years ago, about 10 years ago, with regard to how much time to give to PSA. Uh-huh. So when we lose that, we don't really have a slot in, even early in the morning, for wake-up calls with George cackling. But you know what happens is that there were pockets there, and I actually have a data point outside of all that, where people found us as the podcast essentially now, and they're like spreading it around on the internet. Things travel fast, you know, on the internet. So if you take a look at our map up here, all the pins that you see are places we've received questions from, and there most of those places don't have radio stations that have us, but people still send us questions. I wear my badge proudly when I'm at American Chemical Society conferences, and it says University of Detroit Mercy on it. Half the time, someone will come up to me. This guy is a pharmaceutical professor, University of Kansas. He goes, I grew up in Detroit listening to Ask the Professor. It's the first thing out of his mouth when he sees the name of the university. I find it fascinating. Yeah. Absolutely fascinating. That was just a couple years ago.
I don't know if there's any connection here at all. I've never known the answer to this. But when I was in high school, I went to Warren High School out here in the suburbs. Mm-hmm. As a senior, I was in a little operetta that was called Ask the Professor. Yeah, I don't know if it was from a U of D graduate who was inspired to write it or not. But when I did the play about getting into show business, which included my high school years, I had a little excerpt from Ask the Professor, da 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 da, you know. And I assumed that was the music behind this show, and it wasn't apparently.
What were the character names for Edwin and George?
I put their names
in my version of the play. I used their names.
Okay.
As the
gosh.
That would have been funny.
Small world.
I have a kind of bittersweet biographical bit about Edwin, and you'll remember too. He used to laugh about the kind of teenager he was. And I think this might be where, somewhere along the way, he learned not to care what anybody thought. I mean, that was the beautiful thing about him. And so, you know, just, but he said he came along late. His parents married late. They didn't expect to have children. Remember that? And they, so he said as a teenager, he said everybody else was listening to Elvis and I was listening to Dietrich Fischer Dieskau. And he was just probably, I'd love to know more, but he probably just went his own way, kind of.
Wow.
And then, was very similar. I was an only child. Came late, and yeah, I grew up with classical music too.
So. I did, but I desperately wanted
I
to
hated the
be
pop
popular,
music
so
time.
I worked at it.
just pre rock and roll,
yeah.
Awful pop music.
Yeah. Well, I guess you had good taste. There were periods that, but I just, you know, his independence was so interesting.
From the
very
beginning,
I think he probably didn't care about these other kids.
Wow. I mean, the academic maverick, what can you say? Maybe he's a maverick in the purest sense, even from being a teenager, right?
Well, he loved London so, and London was the sort of city that suited him. It's just very hard to think of him growing up anywhere else.
In
but
Wyandotte,
London,
sorry, anywhere. Everybody.
No,
right.
Anywhere, any sort of small suburban place or even most American cities, I mean, or any city in the world. He just was such a Londoner, you know. They loved it there.
He went to Macmillan, is that right? He went to a Canadian university.
Yeah, he went to school in Toronto.
Toronto,
he went here and then he went to school in Toronto to the Medieval Academy.
His undergraduate degree is from U of D, right?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Yes.
And then he went to the Medieval Institute in Toronto, which is the place to go for.
And did he also
medieval
study in England?
And then he did all his research in England, yeah.
I know, because, yeah, research.
Right, and his research was thesis, yeah.
And wasn't he a chain smoker?
Yeah, and chain smoker, and also a member of the Royal Society of Historians. I mean, he was
that
honored
was later,
for his
so
work,
is
not
Anne.
Only here, but yeah. and yeah. with Anne, yes, of course, in, mm-hmm. in England, too. So he
but
was
he said, he told me when he was a grad student, he smoked, literally, he was a chain smoker. Probably he gave it up for Anne. We could ask her. But he said, the minute I find out that I have a, so we gave it up. He said, the minute I find out that I have a terminal disease, I'm going to start smoking again.
Oh, my gosh, that lines up so perfectly. You know, I had another prodded loose, another recovered memory about Edwin that, you know, I just heard through the grapevine. We have these wonderful little, even post-tenure reports that are due to academic affairs here at the university to let the provost know how you're progressing as a professor, even after tenure, even after promotion to full professor. And I understand from somebody who had knowledge of the situation that Edwin's were riddled with all of these just absolutely outlandish statements about what he was doing because he wanted to see if someone was actually reading what he was turning in, including one year when the only thing that appeared in the report is, my work continues. And I don't even care if it's not true. It just fits. It fits the memories you guys are all spinning here so perfectly.
And when he was asked what you do for the community service, he wrote, I renewed my driver's license.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that is so great. That is absolutely great. I can't think. I don't know everybody at the university, but I know a number, and I can't think of anybody who could possibly fill these shoes. I mean, someone who is at this level of erudition and irreverence and willing to go, you know, toe to toe with anybody, listen to classical music as a teenager. I mean, we need people like that in our lives, you know.
He was also, I think, he and Anne both spent long hours at the British Museum, the sure. libraries. And that's really picky research. But, you know, I mean, it really takes a lot of patience. And I remember talks on, you know, it would be court roles, right? And
right,
somebody
right.
who had to pay for the other guy's cow because it fell.
Well,
derived.
He reconstructed entire lives, entire biographies,
right.
and then entire villages. And so, you know, it was, I wouldn't call it picky, it was more just laborious. But
yes,
it was putting together pieces. Yeah, he's a real scholar.
Yeah,
you know, and he's a true scholar. Yeah. You know? And then she too, and she, at this moment, just got back from London where she's carrying on the work. And
good.
Yeah.
That's
so
awesome.
So, yeah.
And Edwin and his movies.
Yeah.
He
loved movies, too.
I mean, he would come back from England and make you come and watch some
in theater,
really obscure thing.
I missed out on those. Thank goodness.
Well, there was a period where I was
I'll
there
tell you,
more.
I have one, I guess, one for the story. I don't know, about 6-8 years ago, he bought me an English DVD player. So, yes, and I thought I was special. It turns out I was not special. So I got that along with a couple of stacks of DVDs that you had to have the right machine to play them in the right area of the world. So just recently I found out that Dave Kugel, Beth Oljar, apparently you, everybody got a DVD player. So he was always trying to share, and he wanted to bring people into his his love of British everything, TV, movies. So I still have that, and I have a whole stack of stuff that he gave me. So
he was very generous person. You're
he
right.
Was.
He would. You like the movie? He gets you the DVD. And when my son was interested in he saw the movie with Kenneth Branagh, Henry V, mm-hmm. and he loved it. Edwin came back from England that summer with, you know, books and posters those little tin soldiers, and you know, he just was a very generous person. Anybody that was interested in, and I think as a colleague he was like that too, because he really helped with your scholarship. If you were interested in something, he would try to help you find out how to find out about it. You know, very much interested in other people's research. And
in fact, now that you mention it, he brought down Securitate on me.
Right.
I had a Fulbright to Romania shortly after the wall fell, and he would send me video tapes of movies, but they weren't commercial. He had made them, and he would mail them to me so I'd have something to watch. And because they weren't labeled, the Securitate came in and decided they had to check all that out. So they came into my apartment all that. But it was extremely generous of him to figure out how to do that. Yeah. That was kind of cute.
Wow.
And that's what you said about him being not only irreverent and sardonic, but he was a heart of gold and very generous person.
When a colleague of ours was very ill a few years ago, Edwin and Anne came once a week, and I would walk over and meet them to Jane Schaberg's house. And he had the stuff that you couldn't get anywhere else. It's the Benedetto Mysteries, I think, and they're, he said they're about Italy, but they're made in Germany because the Italians won't let them film because it always reveals corruption in the end in the Italian police force or whatever. But they were really wonderful. Mm-hmm. And they would come and bring dinner and then we'd watch.
Yeah.
You know.
Wow.
Very kind.
Anything else, folks? I love how you took notes, Claire. That was a good idea. Don't want to miss anything.
There will be a test.
I have a DVD of the picnic show. Are there any other tapes of the old shows?
That's a good question. I mean, we have so much audio, but I'm not sure.
I've got tapes at home.
If we do, we need to get that in and get it digitized so that we can put some stuff on our website for sure.
Would you?
Video or just audio?
Video.
You have video?
The Voice of God Says what?
Yeah, I would love to see that.
But video as well,
but video.
Michael?
No, video. I have a very good story, and that is when he was so ill in the last weeks of his life, I brought him a DVD of the picnic show of Ask the Professor, and he watched it, and he was smiling throughout the whole thing.
Oh,
well, that's great.
So,
that is wonderful.
It meant a lot to him, this show. You know, it did. It did.
The little bird songs. Mm-hmm. I forgot all about that. Yep. We'd have little bird sounds, breezes.
Yep. There's a bird story question. I think it involved you. Something about a truck and birds, and they banged on the side.
The
canaries. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Something's ringing a bell.
This guy is he's following a truck, and every now and then the truck driver gets up and bangs on the side of the truck.
That's it.
And then he goes for a while, and then finally he says, "Why are you doing that?" And the guy says, "Well, sir, you got to understand, this is my truck, and it has 7-ton capacity, and I've got 15 tons of canaries in here, so I have to keep a certain number of them in the air all the time."
I'm glad you remembered that.
I haven't thought about that in a million years.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I don't know how this might fit in, but Dan certainly blew my mind at the beginning of this recording by saying this is your 22nd year on the show or more.
I started in 95.
Unbelievable. But professors, you're always welcome whenever the spirit moves you to come back. We have carried the torch in not so different a direction that it started, and we like to have a lot of fun. You'll be happy to know that we've gotten a habit over these last 3 or 4 years of inviting especially newer professors on campus to be guest panelists. And for some reason, it's happened so many times now, it shouldn't make me laugh at all. They are scared to death to come on the show. They really think that it's something super hardcore and we're all going to go, Mensa on them or something. And then they see us goofing around. They're like, oh, this is it? Poor Mary Catherine. You know, she really thought that this was going to test her mettle. And then 2 minutes in, she's like, what was I thinking? We tried to, tell you it was a comedy, but,
You don't have to be smart.
You don't have to be smart. I like Dan's story from before. That pretty much sums it up. Any specific memories from the other remotes? I mean, besides being called out, Tom's Tavern definitely comes to mind.
Oh, Tom's Tavern and Seven Mile.
Mm-hmm.
Those were wonderful shows.
Yeah. Tom's Tavern cowbell rings in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio program, on which you match wits with University of Detroit professors and their guests in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Evan Nguyen. And today we have a lot of the regular panel with us from the Department of Religious Studies, the chair of that department, Professor George Pickering.
Wow. Pleasure to be here, as always.
I'm really speechless. And on George's right, from the Department of Mathematics, Professor Dan Maggio.
Thank you.
From the Department of History, Professor Greg Sumner.
Nice to be here, homie.
And across the table from Greg, from the Department of Theater and Performing Arts, Professor Arthur Beer.
Lovely. Simply lovely.
The whole thing is.
And on Arthur's right, from the Department of History, the chair of that department, Professor Sarah Gravel.
No, I'm Arthur Beer. He's Sarah Gravel. I'm Arthur Beer.
You're both wearing dresses. It's hard to tell.
I thought they'd come as J. Edgar Hoover.
Does our panel have anything appropriate to say as we launch ourselves into 1984?
I think that as we face a new year, we should all realize that nothing is really going to improve. Or as my father used to say when I was but a child, cheer up, George. Things will get worse. Yes,
the worst is yet to come.
We have the same father.
He was right, of course.
Yes. Sarah, any words of wisdom?
No, I can't think of any.
In Latin.
Well, that was good. No. I like that.
That was good. That was
life
good.
Is harsh and complex. And
that's why we like it.
Oh, yes.
Life is wonderful,
well,
and you should be having a good time
all the
time.
How about old acquaintances?
Yes.
All
how about
the
acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind.
Not so loud.
We can't do this.
Nine,
well, we
Big Brother
eight,
is watching. Seven, six.
To have listeners like in Little Rock, or I mean, there were funky
oh,
little
yes.
places that carry
Alaska.
The
well,
show.
Edwin was invited to Alaska. Did you know that he was invited
no.
to Alaska? Yes, they flew him up.
He
they
went.
Did.
Yes,
he went.
Because,
I didn't know.
Yes,
oh my
he went
gosh.
To Alaska. He was flown up to Alaska because he had this devoted crowd
he
of listeners.
He was a celebrity there.
Yeah, and then he came back with. You opened his freezer and there and King Crab Legs jumped out at him.
He had about tell me there was a moose.
Hundreds and hundreds of dollars for King Crab Legs that they had given him as a present. For,
oh my
you know.
Gosh, that's incredible.
So it is incredible.
I've never heard that.
Yeah.
You're listening to a special edition of Ask the Professor, honoring the memory of Edwin DeWitt. A memorial service honoring Edwin is scheduled for the week of September 25th. If you would like more information on the memorial service, or if you have a memory of listening to Edwin that you would like to share, please contact Ask the Professor by emailing atp@udmercy.edu.
We used to mail copies of the show.
The tapes
off,
would
correct?
Be mailed.
Yes, to radio stations. Mm-hmm. And there was one in California, and my kids listened to it out there. Texas? I can't remember where they were.
You know,
odd places.
We're on a minimum number of stations since the law changed X number of years ago, about 10 years ago, with regard to how much time to give to PSA. Uh-huh. So when we lose that, we don't really have a slot in, even
right.
early in the morning for wake-up calls with George cackling.
Right.
But you know what happens is that there were pockets there, and I actually have a data point outside of all that, where people found us as the podcast essentially now, and they're like spreading it around on the internet. Things travel fast, you know, on the internet. So if you take a look at our map up here, all the pins that you see are places we've received questions from, and there most of those places don't have radio stations that have us, but people still send us questions. I wear my badge proudly when I'm at American Chemical Society conferences, and it says University of Detroit Mercy on it. Half the time, someone will come up to me. This guy is a pharmaceutical professor, University of Kansas. He goes, I grew up in Detroit listening to Ask the Professor. It's the first thing out of his mouth when he sees the name of the university. I find it fascinating.
Yeah.
Absolutely fascinating. That was just a couple years ago.
I don't know if there's any connection here at all. I've never known the answer to this. But when I was in high school, I went to Warren High School out here in the suburbs. Mm-hmm. As a senior, I was in a little operetta that was called Ask the Professor.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't know if it was from a U of D graduate who was inspired to write it or not, but when I did the play about getting into show business, which included my high school years, I had a little excerpt from Ask the Professor, da 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 da, you know. And I assumed that was the music behind this show, and it wasn't, apparently.
What were the character names? Were they Edwin and George?
I put their names in my version of the play. I used their names. Okay. As the students.
Oh, my gosh.
That would have been funny.
Small world.
I have a kind of bittersweet biographical bit about Edwin, and you'll remember, too. He used to laugh about the kind of teenager he was, and I think this might be where, somewhere along the way, he learned not to care what anybody thought. I mean, that was the beautiful thing about him. And so, you know, just, but he said he came along late. His parents married late. They didn't expect to have children. Remember that? And they, so he said as a teenager, he said everybody else was listening to Elvis and I was listening to Dietrich Fischer Dieskau. And he was just probably, I'd love to know more, but he probably just went his own way, kind of.
Wow.
And I was very similar. I was an only child, came late, and yeah, I grew up with classical music, too.
So. I did, but I desperately wanted
I
to
hated the
be
pop
popular,
music in my
so
time.
I worked at it.
just pre-rock and roll,
yeah.
Awful pop music.
Yeah. Well, I guess you had good taste. There are periods that, but I just, you know, his independence was so interesting.
From the
very
beginning.
I think he probably didn't care about these other kids.
Wow. Wow. I mean, the academic maverick, what can you say?
Maybe
he's a maverick in the purest sense, even from being a teenager, right?
Well, he loved London so, and London was the sort of city that suited him. It's just very hard to think of him growing up anywhere else.
In
but
Wyandotte,
London,
sorry, everybody.
No,
right.
Anywhere, any sort of small suburban place or even most American cities, I mean, or any city in the world. He just was such a Londoner, you know. They loved it there.
He went to Macmillan, is that right? He went to a Canadian university.
Yeah, he went here and then he went to school in Toronto to the Medieval Academy.
His undergraduate degree is from U of D, right?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Yes.
And then he went to the Medieval Institute in Toronto, which is the place to go for.
And did he also do study in England?
And then he did all his research in England, yeah.
I know, he did his research.
His research was thesis, yeah. Uh-huh.
And wasn't he a chain smoker?
Yeah, and chain smoker. And also a member of the Royal Society of Historians. I mean, he was
that
honored
was later,
for his
so
work,
is
not
Anne.
Only here, but with Anne, yes, of course, in England, too. So he
but
was
he
a,
said, he told me when he was a grad student, he smoked. Literally, he was a chain smoker. Probably he gave it up for Anne. We could ask her. But he said, the minute I find out that I have a... So we gave it up. Said, the minute I find out that I have a terminal disease, I'm going to start smoking again.
Oh, my gosh, that lines up so perfectly. You know, I had another another recovered memory about Edwin that, you know, I just heard through the grapevine. We have these wonderful little, even post-tenure reports that are due to academic affairs here at the university to let the provost know how you're progressing as a professor, even after tenure, even after promotion to full professor. And I understand from somebody who had knowledge of the situation that Edwin's were riddled with all of these just absolutely outlandish statements about what he was doing because he wanted to see if someone was actually reading what he was turning in, including one year when the only thing that appeared in the report is, my work continues. And I don't even care if it's not true. It just fits the memories you guys are all spinning here so perfectly.
And when he was asked what you do for the community service, he wrote, I renewed my driver's license.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that is so great. That is absolutely great. So thanks for coming. Yeah, thanks a lot.
That was fun.
Yes, thank you, Edwin.
Thank you, Edwin.
Thanks, Edwin.
Thanks, George.
Ask the Professor is transcribed facilities of the Smith Media Center on the University of Detroit Mercy Real Campus. Ask the Professor is produced by Christina Desgupta. Our technical director is Michael Jason. Executive producer is Vivian Dix. And the next time I'll be back, my name is Edwin DeWitt. Bye.